Fey.
Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Kovitakwa. Yemen is one airstrike away from a cholera epidemic. That was the warning from the UN. And that one airstrike, well, it has happened. The main entry point for food and other supplies into the country has come under renewed attacks by Saudi Arabian air power. In this edition of the debate, we will look at the Saudi-led war and how the Saudis and the Emiratis believe they still have a chance to win, when in reality they're sinking in this war.
International aid agencies have once again sounded the alarm over the deepening humanitarian crisis in war-torn Yemen amid international failure to halt the deadly Saudi aggression. The UK-based charity Oxfam has warned that the number of starving people in Yemen could increase dramatically if the country's port comes under further Saudi attacks. Oxfam was in particular referring to the Red Sea port city of Hodeidah, which receives the bulk of vital imports into Yemen. Hodeidah is now under weeks-long offensive by Saudi-led mercenaries and Emirati forces.
If the conflict continues, if there is an assault or an attack on a major port, if things continue to go a certain way, it would be likely that risk of famine increases.
The charity group also said the Yemen conflict has created the world's largest humanitarian crisis, urging negotiation amongst all warring sides. The United Nations, meanwhile, has echoed similar warning. The UN's World Food Programme said more than 8 million Yemenis are now living in extreme hunger and depend entirely on external food. The WFP called for a return of calm to help the civilians in the war-torn country.
More than anything else, the Yemeni people now desperately need peace. With peace and stability, we can start to get people back on their feet, start to rebuild their livelihoods.
UNICEF has also joined the chorus of warning against the Saudi war. The UN Children's Agency voiced grave concern, calling for an immediate halt to Saudi attacks on Yemen's water facilities and civilian infrastructure.
Attacks against civilian facilities and services are unacceptable, inhumane, and in breach of the basic laws of war. We continue to call on all parties to the conflict to protect civilians and civilian infrastructure. The war in Yemen has no winners. It's robbing Yemeni children of their futures.
The UN body cited two recent Saudi airstrikes on a UNICEF-supported sanitation center and a water station in two Hodeidah areas. The warning came as the civilians in Yemen are bearing the brunt of a war the world ignores. Over 3 years have passed since the Saudis launched the war on Yemen to immediately reinstate the allied former government. Now, with the Saudi debacle in Yemen deepening, with regional stakeholders failing to help end the war and the international community staying silent, a more uncertain future is awaiting the people in Yemen.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have Jamal Wakeem, professor at the Lebanese International University, who joins us from Beirut. Jamal Wakeem, welcome. We need to talk about the humanitarian aspect of this war, which is really important. The warning from the UN, many of them have come through, but this latest one is pretty severe, stating that Yemen is one airstrike away from a cholera epidemic. That was days back. That has happened on top of the 22 million people who are in need of humanitarian assistance. When you have these type of stats that get announced in terms of the warnings and then it happens and it compounds and yet the relief is not coming through, what reaction do you have to it?
Well, I believe that Yemeni people are suffering a lot from this war, and too bad the international community didn't move a finger in order to alleviate the suffering of the Yemeni people. And I believe that in case this epidemic gets launched, I believe that there will be the danger is not only for the Yemeni people, but it will spill over to hit neighboring countries, including Saudi Arabia, especially that the villages and cities in southern Saudi Arabia are just across the border. So I believe that this is a very dangerous situation, and I believe that the international community should be more firm in this regard and should intervene in order to spare the lives of civilians and try to limit the effect of the war on them.
Okay, you talk about intervention by the international community. Let me bring in our guest, Michael Maloof, former Pentagon official who joins us from Washington, D.C. on this. Mm-hmm. Michael Maloof, international intervention to help relieve the humanitarian situation there in Yemen, of which so many people are suffering. What have you seen that is indicating that that is being done, if it is being done at all, in terms of helping out these people?
All I hear is talk, and it's a very, very dire situation for the general population. When the Saudis target sanitation and also the drinking water of civilians, that shows that the Saudis and the UAE have basically declared war on the civilian population, which is against international law. And very unfortunately, the United States is aware of this. Makes some very placid complaints to the Saudis, but the Saudis already know that they've bought off the United States, and so nothing happens. The United States should be cutting off all munitions and even intelligence for the Saudis as a result of this. And it's just horrendous what the display of this kind of activity of just ignoring the humanitarian crisis and chaos that's occurring.
Jamal Joaquim, do you agree with Michael Maloof that the Saudis have bought off the Americans when it comes to at least this war?
Well, I believe so, but I believe also that the Americans or the United States of America only sees the conflict going on in Yemen from a geopolitical perspective as part of the greater conflict to contain the Eurasian rising powers like Russia, China, and mainly Iran, because it thinks that what's going on in Yemen was due to Iranian intervention in an attempt to have access to the Red Sea and to move from there towards the heart of Africa, which is the main arena of our competition between the United States and China in the upcoming century. So that's why the United States have given unconditional support to Saudi Arabia and its allies in their war on Yemen. That's why it was the United States that have so far blocked any attempt by the international community to take action and to limit at least the damage caused to the civilians in Yemen.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned Iran, and I'd like to ask you, Michael Maloof.
Well, it shows the hypocrisy, though.
Go ahead, Michael Maloof.
Yeah, it shows hypocrisy of the United States. They talk about humanitarian activities toward other countries, yet the United States is basically silent on the Saudi and the UAE bombing of civilians. You don't bomb civilians, and you don't bomb their means of basic sanitation and water if you're trying to go after something else. And frankly, the activities right now against the civilian population is an unmitigated disaster. And other countries that are opposed to the killing of civilians really should start intervening and stopping the Saudis altogether.
And that's the point, Jamal Wakeem, that I wanted to make. You know, Michael Maalouf talks at length about this, and I'd like to point out before I ask you the question, Jamal Wakeem, how Saudi Arabia has deliberately targeted impoverished Yemen's farms and agricultural industry. You would think that this happened yesterday. This is October 2016. Let's move on to another incident, December 2017, how Saudi Arabia is bombing the country into famine. They're targeting Yemen's food supplies, maritime facilities, infrastructure like roads, wells, and farms. Now, as bad as that sounds, how does Iran fit into that equation when the Saudis blame Iran for the war in Yemen when they're specifically targeting infrastructure?
Well, of course, the Saudis are waging a total war in Yemen because they think that Yemen is very crucial to their hegemony over Arabia, and it's very crucial, hence, to their stability, to the stability of the Saudi regime. Of course, the Saudis also see the war in Yemen as part of a greater competition between them and Iran over influence in the Near East. And the Saudis are playing the role of allies of the United States in its grand strategy to contain the Eurasian powers and block them from having access to maritime trade routes. So this complicates the matter in Yemen, and this also gives the will for the Saudis to go on in their war, because they think that there is a greater good to be served, of course, from their perspective, which is to ward off Iranian threat to them. Well, I don't believe so, but this is from Saudi perspective, of course, and this makes it harder for the Yemenis, especially that the Saudis are targeting civilians in a way to make them pressure their leadership to bow to Saudi conditions.
Okay. I'd like to find out from you, Michael Maalouf, this recent development, first of all, what you think of what the statements that were made by the UAE Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, Dr. Anwar Gargash, when he said that the UAE is ready to take up a bigger role in regional security, that they want to take up a more active role in regional security as the U.S. and Britain can no longer be relied upon. Do you think that Yemen is part of that and maybe signaling that the U.S. is trying to take somewhat of a back seat and not be so associated with what some have called war crimes being committed in Yemen?
Well, I think Mohammed bin Zayed has grander designs. He has strategic vision, which he's basically pulling the strings of the Saudis. The Saudis basically are an instrument of MBZ, because MBZ really has designs on becoming a regional power in that entire area. He's already looking not only for ports, and he was just kicked out of Djibouti, but he's looking for ports further down East Africa, and that will give him greater access to the Indian Ocean. I think that, and of course, Yemen fits in part of that in order for the, as part of a strategic effort to maintain control. And frankly, I disagree with the guest's further previous comment that that the Iranians are behind all this, frankly, because the Houthis for years sought greater representation in their government, and they and the Saudis and the Sunni-led government there absolutely put them down, and so they rebelled, and this started off as an internal strife, and the fact that the Saudis continue to wage war against Yemen right next door and buy all of this military equipment and don't know how to use it makes you wonder just what the Saudis are doing. I don't know what their grand design is, except to become an instrument for UAE ultimately.
Do you agree with that, Jamil Wakeem?
No. Yeah, I fully agree with Mr. Maalouf of the designs of UAE in the region to become a regional power. Actually, the Emiratis are planning to become the hegemon power in the Western Indian Ocean on behalf of the United States as a surrogate power in the Western part of the Indian Ocean. And that's why they are trying to invest and extend their hegemony over ports in Eastern Africa, and also they have investments in Indian ports. And they have in mind, and this explains why they were keen on controlling the port of Aden in Yemen, and also to try to extend their control over Hodeidah, because they don't want any competing port that could, let's say, challenge their hegemony. And of course, this role is given to them by the United States because the United States thinks that it needs regional allies in crucial areas as part of its strategy to remain as the major superpower in the world, the major maritime power that controls all maritime trade routes and block competing powers from having access to these maritime trade routes, because the maritime trade routes are the gateway to international trade and commerce. And that's why for the United States to remain a superpower, it needs to maintain its hegemony over maritime trade routes.
Well, Michael Maalouf, a major development that happened just recently is how the Ansarallah fighters targeted shipping containers that belong to Saudi Arabia. Michael Maalouf, do you have us?
Yeah, it's going in and out, but I'm trying to hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Basically, that changed somewhat the rules of the game when those containers were targeted. Saudi Arabia, at that point, obviously closed the Bab al-Mandab Strait. But don't you think that that would be a perfect opportunity for Saudi Arabia to rethink its strategy when it's having its shipping containers to be targeted? And as you said, you're not too sure what goals Saudi Arabia has by continuing to bomb Yemen.
Well, I think that, of course, they don't want their ships targeted, which is understandable. But I also think that it shows that that they've got to rein in their own aggressiveness toward in that region. They've clearly showed that they've been a total military failure, and even especially in Yemen. And they've even tried to upset everything throughout the Middle East, including Lebanon and Syria. They haven't succeeded, and they just need to begin to look internally and take care of their own house for a change, rather than have grander designs as part of their notion that they are the leader of all the Arab countries. But in doing that, they Mohammed bin Salman somehow feels that he needs to be another Genghis Khan for some reason, and I think that this is really shows his immaturity.
But somebody who's feeding that desire, and I don't want to use the word ego, but perhaps that can come into play here, Jamal Wakeem, is the U.S. We noticed how U.S. President Donald Trump just days ago said, you know what, maybe it's a good time to revive this so-called Arab NATO. Now tell us exactly what plans Trump has, because some say he wants to milk the Persian Gulf countries by continuing to sell them supplies, military supplies, while it takes, again, while it goes back in the shadows, and for them, this so-called Arab NATO, to take on military operations.
Well, this Arab NATO has a precedence, which is the Pact of Baghdad back in the 1950s. And the main objective, it's not to sell arms and get lucrative deals for arms sales for the United States companies. But I believe that the main objective of this Arab NATO is to keep the Middle East under American hegemony, because it would link the region to the United States mainly, and it would serve as an obstacle to Russia and Iran and China from having access to the East Mediterranean and to the Red Sea. So that's why, and it's a good mean for the United States to integrate Israel in the Arab region under the pretext of facing a greater danger that poses a threat to the Arabs, which is Iran. Of course, this is from American and Saudi perspective. But so far, I don't believe that the prospects for this Arab NATO are very very promising, especially that there are differences between various Arab allies and mainly between Saudi Arabia and Egypt regarding Syria, for example. There are also concerns for the Saudis regarding the ambitions of the UAE and other, let's say, Islamic states that are allies to Saudi Arabia have reservations towards this Arab NATO. Mainly Turkey has reservations and Pakistan. So I don't know if it would work, especially that there are also other Arab states like Iraq and Syria that are opposing this Arab NATO. Mm-hmm. So far.
Well, you mentioned Russia in some of your statements there, and Michael Malouf, I'd like to ask you, just months ago, back in March of 2018, there was news that Russia may be contemplating actually expanding its Middle East role by maybe doing something or creating something or perhaps having some kind of influence in the war on Yemen. Do you think that that is something that Russia has indeed contemplated? And is it something that they may enter into or not?
Well, I think the Russian perspective is one in which, by supporting Qatar in the dispute with the Saudis, I think that Russia laid down the gauntlet that that any kind of aggressive activities, even by Saudi Arabia, is not going to be acceptable. And I think that indeed the Russians do contemplate and indeed have shown that they intend to maintain a presence. They certainly have done that recently. And I might also point out that ever since President Obama backed the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the Saudis have never trusted the United States since, and they've gone their own way. It's really showing an independent role on their part, as well, and the UAE, of course, has joined in with that. So I think that as a consequence, even though they might think the U.S. supports them in a Arab NATO, which the U.S. will give a lip service to, the United States also has to realize that the Saudis could really bring the United States into even a greater conflict than it ever contemplated by its reckless activities, as we're now seeing in Yemen, and potentially the threats that MBS and MBZ have made toward Iran itself. If the United States wants to saddle up to that, then we're going to be in eternal conflicts, which we will never be able to survive ourselves if that happens.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to end there. Michael Malouf there, former Pentagon official from Washington, talking to us from Washington, D.C., and also Jamal Wakeem, thank you, professor of the Lebanese International University, talking to us from Beirut. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.
Поэтому раз это шпагу садом на урус того, что она...